This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 2nd of June 2023. Hello. Welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts for the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 1st of June 2023. Your readers today are Jane Rutter.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And we're very pleased to have a guest reader from a member of the staff of the Hampshire Chronicle, Megan Stanley, who's just going to say a few words about what she does on the Hampshire Chronicle.
Hello, I'm the digital editor, which means I'm basically in charge of the social media output and how the website looks in general.
Thank you. Well, welcome. Thank you very much for coming and reading with us. And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The headlines this week are Sacked Doctor Tells of Witch Hunt, Still Rolling Along After 58 Years, New Speed Cameras on Road Where Biker Died. So we start with the story behind the first headline.
Sacked Doc Tells of Witch Hunt. After more than 4 years of trauma, a highly esteemed doctor has shared why he really thinks his NHS trust fired him. Winchester maternity consultant and obstetrician Martin Pittman was sacked by Hampshire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust in March in what former patients and staff are describing as a four-year witch hunt. The obstetrician says he has been silenced by the trust since he first blew the whistle on patient and staff safety in 2019, when staffing at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital fell below the minimum requirement for safe care. Those safety issues emerged after the NHS Trusts based in Winchester and Basingstoke merged in 2012. Following the news of his failed appeal hearing last week, Mr. Pittman is now speaking out in hope of preventing the same from happening to others. Mr. Pittman, 57, said, "It's like a grieving process. You work so hard and for so long to achieve what I achieved, and to now look down the barrel of the loss of that is a heck of a price to pay. I acted as a spokesperson for the midwives because they'd lost confidence and faith in their direct midwifery line managers, so they used me as a sounding board. I was then accused of bullying, harassment, and undermining behaviour by a group of the senior midwifery management team. The reason for my ultimate dismissal was an alleged irretrievable breakdown with members of the Trust's senior management, which in reality equates to a very small number of individuals. I whistle-blew about patient safety concerns and spiralling morale within the midwifery workforce. It became obvious that our ability to manage basic clinical processes was being limited by appallingly low staffing levels. I raised concerns about the maternal death that happened at Winchester in March 2021 and how it was handled by the Trust. This was one of several factors that made them believe that it would not be beneficial to have me on their payroll anymore. The consultant, who lives in South Wanston, believes some of the problems stem from when Basingstoke and North Hants Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust merged with the Winchester and Eastleigh NHS Trust to form HHFT in 2012. Mr. Pittman continued, "Before the merger, Winchester was a very popular place to work, and the maternity unit had a very good reputation. When we merged, we hoped to elevate the standard of care of Basingstoke up to the level we were achieving in Winchester. Winchester has always been very proud of its consultant-led service and having a very good multidisciplinary relationship with our midwifery colleagues, whereas Basingstoke had a very midwifery-led ethos and was pro-normalisation, encouraging ladies to go down the route of vaginal delivery when perhaps a more medical model could be more appropriate and safer for their babies. There were challenges and differences of opinion within the midwifery management group, all of which came from Basingstoke, which meant it was almost impossible for any Winchester originating midwives to professionally achieve any senior management positions. That situation made me vulnerable, and then when I decided to whistleblow, that gave the group the ability to try and take me out. Would I do the same tomorrow if I was still working in the organisation and saw what I saw back then? Categorically, yes, because I still believe it was right. I certainly don't regret what I did, because I did it with the best intentions for the patients of Winchester and my midwifery colleagues. Every single one of the allegations I made in terms of patient and staff safety then proved to be spot on and were reinforced by an unannounced CQC visit in 2020, which produced a pretty condemning report in 2021. Every single deficiency that investigation raised was nearly exactly what was raised nearly 2 years ago. The scary thing was that senior members claimed that they had no idea that any of these problems, which is completely disingenuous. By dismissing me, they have lost 30 years of experience, including 20 years of consultant experience, and that isn't easy to replace. The level of training that I received just doesn't happen anymore. There's an endemic culture of fear in the organisation because the way that I have been treated. If somebody of my level of experience and stature can be dismissed for simply raising concerns, why would anybody else do the same? Mr. Pittman has been backed by the British Medical Association and more than 1,000 former patients and colleagues who've expressed support in the Facebook group Friends of Martin Pittman ahead of his employment tribunal in October.
Apologies for the extraneous noise there, but we are recording live actually in the centre of Winchester, and obviously there was an emergency vehicle going past at the time. Anyway, sorry about that.
Still rolling along after 58 years. Ropley Pram Race still proves to be a highlight of the village calendar, 58 years on from its inception. Last Monday, May the 29th, hundreds of spectators, racers and volunteers gathered at Ropley Recreation Ground near Alsford, ready for the annual spring bank holiday event, which dates back to 1965. Around 36 teams took part, with prizes for the best dressed and the quickest times. Competitors start and finish at the recreation ground and complete a 2-mile course around the village, with one person having to sit in the pram at all times. However, this rule did go out of the window with some of the prams dressed for style over speed and practicality. Charlotte Sandel from Ropley was back for her 5th pram race this year. She said, "It's the taking part that counts. The fun brings me back every year. It's a really great village event, so you have to take part. You can't not." After a near 30-year hiatus, Stuart Laidlaw from Southampton thought it was time he came back to compete, but this time pushing his two kids, Chloe and Soph, who opted for princess dresses with a castle pram and their dad as a dragon. Tim Day was on the mic throughout the morning, helping out at his 56th pram race. "We don't advertise it," he said. "People just turn up. I've been thinking about whether we should apply to the Guinness World Book of Records, as it's been 58 years, so definitely worth a try. There's such a sense of community spirit. It's an annual event that seems to manifest itself every year, but it's due to a small committee which keeps it going. It keeps the village together."
New speed cameras on road where biker died. Hampshire's Police and Crime Commissioner has enforced speed cameras along two of the worst roads for excessive noise and speeding in Hampshire, following the death of a motorcyclist between Petersfield and West Meon Hurt on Wednesday, May 24th. PCC Donna Jones has announced the installation of 8 new average speed cameras along the A32 and A272. The Meon Valley roads are known for excessive motorbike noise. and speeding, which has a detrimental impact on people's lives. The PCC set aside £677,000 from the Safer Roads Reserve, which is a revenue generated from speed camera fines, at the beginning of the year to improve safety across the county. MPs, councillors and parish councillors have consistently expressed their concerns over the dangerous roads on behalf of Meon Valley residents. PCC Donna Jones said, "I know that the constabulary has always invested significant time and resources into speeding enforcement on these roads because they are high casualty roads, but due to limited technology capturing offending motorists and motorcyclists, up until now has been difficult. These cameras will provide 24/7 permanent digital enforcement for the police, making it easier to identify offending motorists and take action against those who are driving dangerously. Targeted police operations in marked and unmarked vehicles will continue significantly. The use of high-speed police motorbikes, which I also invested in last year to bolster the police response." Roads Policing Unit Inspector Andy Tester said, "Speeding is one of the fatal five causes of serious injury or fatal collisions on our roads, and these cameras will act as a deterrent to those who choose to ignore speed limits. Our dedicated roads policing officers will continue to patrol these roads, but the addition of these cameras means more speeding motorists will be caught and the highways will be safer for all road users." Meon Valley MP Flick Drummond said, "Excessive speeding and motorbike noise along the A32 and A272 have been a huge concern for residents, and they have endured this antisocial and illegal activity for far too long. The installation of new speed cameras is something residents wanted and something I have campaigned to happen. I have a few words for the minority of riders and drivers who consider the A32 and A272 their personal racetracks. Fines, penalty points and even a ban from the road await them if they break the law."
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Clemenson, Patricia June Clemenson, known as Pat, on the 17th of May. Groves, Eileen Groves, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, Winchester, on the 15th of May, aged 94. Romans, Michael Stanley Romans, on the 16th of May, aged 82. And now we have Christian comment.
And this week's Christian comment is from Rosemary Baker, and it's entitled "The Message of the Four Festivals." Last Sunday, the Christian Church celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, or Whitsun as it used to be called. It falls on the seventh Sunday after Easter and commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Christ's disciples, as described in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament. In England, it took on some of the characteristics of Beltane, which originated from the pagan celebration of Summer's Day, the beginning of the summer half year in Europe. Pentecost is significant in both the Old and New Testaments. Pentecost is actually the Greek name for a festival known in the Old Testament as the Feast of Weeks. The Greek word means 50 and refers to the 50 days that have elapsed since the Feast of Weeks, the Passover, was offered to celebrate the end of the grain harvest. Pentecost is reminiscent of the Last Supper, when the disciples were gathered together before a significant event occurs. The description of fire and wind mentioned in the account in the book of Acts tells us of the presence of God, for this is an echo of other references found in both the Old and New Testaments. There are other symbols that are used to represent the Holy Spirit besides those of wind and fire. The dove, the wild goose, the Holy Spirit is often seen as female, and the colour red. Pentecost is considered to be the birth of the church, the coming of God's power on the disciples in the form of wind and fire, which enabled them to speak and understand other languages, meant that they were able to tell people of the death and resurrection of Jesus and what it meant for them. There are four festivals which form the framework of the beliefs of the Christian church. Christmas, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. The Feast of the Ascension, when the risen Jesus goes up to heaven and is no longer seen on earth, usually passes by unnoticed, and it seems to me that the same is really happening to Pentecost. I was shocked to see that Songs of Praise wasn't about Pentecost, but seemed to be an ordinary broadcast. There was a service earlier and programmes on radio, but it seemed much less coverage generally than I've come to expect. This coming Sunday is called Trinity Sunday, when the three forms of God are considered together. I can remember asking, like many others, not to be asked to preach on this Sunday, as this concept was so difficult to explain. Now I see it as the three roles of God, as I see myself, for instance, as having many different roles throughout my life, as a doctor, a Methodist minister, and as an aunt and great-aunt, to name but a few. Some people identify with just one image of God, others as more than one, depending on where they are in their lives. The message of Pentecost, and indeed all four festivals, is that God loves us and cares for us all. And that was Rosemary A. Baker.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do by either telephoning 01962 860836, that's 01962 860836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing in the old-fashioned way to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. There are only 8 letters this week, so I don't know why. Yeah, nobody's really particularly busy, but we've got Silver Hill seems to be back on the agenda again, so a couple of letters about that and a couple about traffic congestion. Anyway, we'll start off with the first letter.
Yes, this first letter is about Silver Hill, and it's from Paul Hickey. Once upon a time, there was a plan for the redevelopment of Silver Hill in Winchester. Ye old Winchester Council in these bygone times drew up a plan for Silver Hill. Alas, this plan never came to pass. It wasn't Winchester Council's fault at all. Not at all. Today, in 2023, the Silver Hill site still remains undeveloped. It is so delightful to have the lovely, picturesque, decrepit large car park which Silver Hill mainly consists of. It is so lovely to take loads of photos of this exquisite, enchanting Silver Hill area. You can never have too many car parks. Delightful. I've seen many families having picnics by this picturesque, decrepit large car park. It's such a lovely part of the city. Winchester Council and their developers are currently considering a new plan for Silver Hill. What will this plan be? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Super Limbo. It would be so nice to have a large community centre for Winchester residents in Silver Hill, where you can do lots of recreational activities and meet lots of new people. This community centre would be open in the daytimes and the evenings. It would also be so nice to have a large, centrally located adult education college in Silver Hill, where Winchester residents can go to lots of educational and recreational classes and meet lots of new people. This centrally located adult education college would also be open in the evenings and daytimes and evenings. Much as everyone loves the large, picturesque, enchanting, decrepit car park in Silver Hill, it would be so nice if Silver Hill in Winchester could be redeveloped within 2 years, i.e. by 2025. Where there's a will, there's a way. So writes Paul Hickey, Parchment Street, Winchester.
Another letter about Silver Hill, specifically plans to demolish the derelict medical centre. David Selby writes, I was interested to read that ex-City Councillor Tate thought that it was a disgrace to demolish the derelict medical centre as part of the regeneration of the Silver Hill / Saxon Gate area. It would be interesting to know if Mr Tate, when on the council, supported the demolition of the property in the High Street of what is now the unimpressive Travel Lodge replacement, and similarly in City Road, the excrescence that was built in the middle of a not pleasant row of what appears to be Edwardian / Victorian dwellings. Could it be that Mr Tate's reaction to the demolition therefore is more political than based on planning or other considerations? The editorial comment in the Chronicle seems to be far more reasonable and less dramatic approach to the issue. David Selby, West Hill Road North, South Wunston?
This letter is about traffic problems and it's from Christopher Sharrett. Sir, on page 2 of the Hampshire Chronicle of May the 18th, you carried two reports about traffic problems around Winchester. Both make me wonder what our Liberal Democrat councillors are playing at. Early opposition to M3 upgrade plans informed us that Councillor Jackie Porter said this would increase the traffic at the Cart and Horses Junction, which has seen many accidents. Safety improvements could be addressed in the Junction 9 plans. The County Council is the Highways Authority responsible for the Cart and Horses Junction and has been since before the M3 was built. Addressing problems there has nothing to do with the plans for Junction 9, which is over a mile away. Do I detect a buck being passed by Councillor Porter? Man killed in M3 crash, records the massive snarl-up which was created on May the 16th as follows. The police closed the M3 between Junctions 9 and 11, forcing traffic into the city centre from the motorway and also from the A34 as the tailback stretched to Three Maids Hill and north of Kingsworthy. But in future, traffic will not only be forced from the motorway and A34, but diverted away from Andover Road and through Kings Barton. This would have to be done, as keeping Andover Road open would be madness, according to City Council leader Martin Todd. I'm sure that Councillor Todd wouldn't want your readers to forget that. And that's from Christopher Sharrett, Waverley Drive in South Wanston.
John Seeger Green says, reopen road. Given the closure of Garnier Road for a prolonged period, would it not make sense to open the gate in College Street, making College Street and Kingsgate Street one way from Chesil Street to St Cross Road, allowing cars only to use the route except for delivery vehicles going to College Street? In this way, cars, which are normally driven down Garnier Road, could avoid the city centre whilst simplifying the traffic flow in the area. Why is the Mercedes dealership in Eastern Lane allowed to unload cars from transporters on the brow of the hill on Eastern Lane at considerable inconvenience to those entering and leaving the city and not required to do that on its own very large lot? It seems an extremely antisocial misuse / abuse of the public highway. Neither of the above suggestions would cost money, but would make Winchester living and visiting that bit more easy, although that does not always seem to be the objective of the powers that be. That's written by John Seeger Green, the Hospital of St Cross, St Cross Road, Winchester.
This letter is about Cuba from David Hoggett. He writes, I found last week's article on Cuba most disturbing. It presented a rather rose-tinted impression of the education sector in this island dictatorship. No mention was made of the teachers who have been imprisoned after trying to establish free trade unions, such as Roberto de Miranda, who received a 25-year sentence, after which he was declared an Amnesty International prisoner of conscience. As Human Rights Watch has noted in their 2021 World Report, Cuba continues to violate International Labour Organization standards. Cuba only permits one confederation of state-controlled unions, the Workers' Central Union of Cuba. Shame on the UK's National Education Union for not calling this out. And that was by David Hoggett of Northbrook Avenue, Winchester.
This letter is from Michelle Fox Roussel, and it's about a wildlife boost. This afternoon, Sunday, May the 28th, whilst returning from St Cross with a friend and walking along the riverside path towards Garnier Road, we were delighted and surprised to see what appeared to be an eel of some 18 inches in length in the river. It swam away very rapidly with a sinusoidal motion and had a dark coloration. A gentleman passing by said that he'd been walking along that stretch of river all his life and had never seen an eel there. It is possible, of course, that it could have been a freshwater lamprey or even a grass snake, but it certainly looked more like an eel. I would welcome any reader's comments or other sightings. Perhaps some scarce wildlife is returning, since whilst on an evening walk last week, I saw a water vole near the college boathouse, and this was the first I'd seen for several years. And that's from Michelle Fox Roussel, Sir Cross Road in Winchester.
Preserve Camp's amazing graffiti, writes Simon Lever. The former army camp at Bushfield has been unused since the 1970s. The actual area, concrete and old mizzen huts, could be used for a sensible and sensitive construction, not imposing upon beautiful green areas. Vehicle access will need to be addressed as Badger Farm Road is very busy. A rather unique item has been there for some years. On a wall within one of the mizzen huts is a truly amazing graffiti of a face, eyes appearing to look at an observer. I have stared in awe many times at the detailed expression on this rather special specimen. Hopefully the wall upon which it is featured will be preserved or at least moved to an appropriate location. That letter is from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
Eileen Berry writes that we should support the new mayor in this letter. She says, I know times have changed, but history hasn't. As I am a great supporter of the history of Winchester's mayoralty from as far back as 1190, it may be difficult for readers to understand that we are one of the most significant cities in England in regards to mayoralty. We are second only to the London mayor, as this beautiful city of ours was once the capital. Of course, everyone knows that. The reason for this letter is that I am very worried that the mayoralty is being rather played down. You see, you have a mayor now, Angela Clare, who has already had the position in 2015 to 2016, and was very, very effective in as much as she is an honest broker. Politics didn't come into it, and now Angela has taken the reins once again. She already stepped in to take over the mayoralty when she was deputy mayor. There was no appreciation shown for what she has achieved and how she has successfully filled that place. If we do not think that the mayoralty is important, we are going to be in a downward spiral, and it actually will demote the importance of this beautiful city. More to the point, Angela is sincere about the service of the people. She doesn't look for glory. What she wants to do is support her charities and do as much as she can for Winchester and the district. In the past, the Hampshire Chronicle has always been very fair in its support for all the activities and the achievements that the mayor has done. Yes, there's been some that look for glory, but mainly they are the servants of the people and work very hard. I'd just like everyone to know that we should support our mayor, especially Angela Clare, because she has worked so hard behind the scenes. Why am I writing this letter? Because I care. Eileen Berry, Prayersdean Road, Hestock.
Next, we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, and then after that, we will have first person.
Today's editorial comment. Welcome news over speed cameras. It is good news that speed enforcement cameras are being installed on two major Hampshire rural roads. The 8 cameras being set up on the A32 and the A272 to measure average speed all day and every day, and so should have a major impact on slowing vehicles, especially motorbikes. Donna Jones, the Police and Crime Commissioner, has set aside £677,000 for the measure. Rather neatly, the money comes from financial reserves comprising fines from speed cameras in other parts of the county. For many years, people living along both roads, including villages such as Bramdean, Cheriton, Warnford, Exton, Droxford, Corhampton and West Meon, have had their lives impacted by speeding bikers, often with illegally adapted machines that make them even louder. Local people have long campaigned for action, and it is excellent that the authorities have at last taken action. No sensible person has anything against motorcyclists enjoying the open roads, but not when their noise pollution affects people's lives. The second benefit is that the cameras will reduce not just speed, but also incidents that all too often lead to the deaths of riders.
First person this week is written by George Hayter, and the title of his piece is My Unlikely Art Bargain. I am not a wealthy person, but I recently acquired an historic oil painting by a royal artist whose other works are on show in such exalted places as the National Portrait Gallery and Buckingham Palace. How I came to buy the 187-year-old portrait is a story of coincidence, hard work, and changing art fashion. The coincidence is that the painter, Sir George Hayter, has the same name as me, except the Sir. Our shared forename and surname brought him to my attention. The hard work was done when I spent 2 years researching my namesake's remarkable pictures and controversial life. The changing artistic fashion was the plummeting of scandal-hit Hayter's reputation and the resulting rock-bottom prices that his works go for these days. As a confident youth, aged just 16, Hayter secretly married a woman aged about 29. They had children, but he soon went off with another woman and had more children with her. Meanwhile, his portraits became a hit with the aristocracy, and he became a friend of the Duke of Wellington and some of Britain's richest families. Queen Victoria called him her favourite artist and made him her official portrait painter. But after the Queen married, she went right off Sir George. He got no more work from her. High society followed her example, leading to Hayter shrinking into debt and obscurity. These days he is rarely even mentioned in books about art, though his giant painting of MPs or one of his portraits of Queen Victoria occasionally crop up in a history book. Sir George was a workaholic. His 18 feet wide Commons painting featured portraits of 400 MPs. It took him 10 years to complete. By the time he finished, he'd gone out of fashion and couldn't sell it. The gargantuan canvas ended up in the National Portrait Gallery, where it resides to this day. In 1845, Hayter was in one of Britain's first train crashes. He was a passenger at the back of a stationary train hit by a following locomotive. He was hampered by headaches and dizziness for the rest of his life. Hayter's best friend was coal magnate George Wood, who with wife Mary had four children. They all died in infancy. Then Mary herself died in 1836, aged 32. Although Hayter was struggling financially and snowed under with work for the Queen, he found time to paint a tender portrait of tragic Mary Wood and presented it to his bereaved friend. After George Wood's death, that poignant painting was lost and forgotten. But a few years ago, it was offered on the internet, asking price £1,195. I spotted it and offered £800, and the art dealer accepted. On the back of the canvas is pasted a note of dedication to his bereaved friend in Hayter's handwriting, signed and dated October 1836. After I received the 18-inch picture, wrapped in layers of cardboard and bubble wrap, I phoned the dealer, who admitted he had no idea who Mary Wood was. I filled him in on her tragic life and death and her connection to the artist. Although Sir George Hayter lived in London, he had family in Winchester. He visited his Aunt Patty, who lived in Winchester's ancient Hospital of St John the Baptist almshouses, across the road from King Alfred's statue. Just before Christmas 1843, 81-year-old Aunt Patty, real name Martha Hattie Hayty, died from burns after her dress caught fire as she sat by her fireside in the almshouses. By the way, the inn sign outside the Queen Inn in Winchester's Kingsgate Road, near Winchester College, features one of Hayter's portraits of Queen Victoria. I don't think my Mary Wood portrait is a masterpiece, and I doubt that Sir George Hayter was a truly great artist. But finding out about him has brought me joy. You never know where an interest or hobby will take you.
There's just one what's on item, though it's a considerable advance as to when it's happening. Tickets for the 13th West Meon Music Festival are now on sale, with 8 concerts over the 4-day event from September the 14th to the 17th. This year's festival promises a wide range of classical music to appeal to all tastes, favourite chamber pieces, song and piano recitals, early music and composers from Monteverdi to Mahler, Schubert to Schoenberg. And full details of all concerts and tickets are available at West Meon Music, that's all one word, westmeonmusic.co.uk. So I say that's quite a long time in advance. Sunrise around now is just before 5 o'clock in the morning, for those who are, have insomnia, like myself.
And me.
And sunset is around about 9:15 in the evening. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you yourself have a problem with the recordings you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229, that's 01962 861 229, and this number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Right, we continue with further items of news.
Council's 3.5 million to prop up struggling bus services. Operators of 9 bus routes have secured 3.5 million from Hampshire County Council. The funding will be used to subsidise services used by people in Winchester, Alsford, Alton, Liphook and Petersfield for the next 4 years. In the Winchester area, it will help with services from the city to East Stratton, South Wanston, North Baddersley, Owlsbury and Petersfield. County Council Executive, Lead Member for Universal Services, Councillor Nick Adams-King, said, "I am pleased to allocate funding to support the commercial bus operators to keep these 9 services running and help communities stay connected." With the government confirming it is extending the £2 bus fare cap to the end of October 2023, rising to just £2.50 until November 2024, I encourage even more residents to try leaving their car at home and take the bus for some or all of their local journeys. The funding support is part of the County Council's drive to maintain bus services where they are most needed and where the income from fares does not cover the bus company's cost to operate the service. The funding will support selected services operated by Stagecoach, Cresta and AMK from August 1st. Service 240 from Ropley to Alsford, which operates on a Monday and Thursday. Service 250 Liphook Village Circular currently operates on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Service 38 Petersfield to Alton, which operates Monday to Friday. Service 94 Burriton to Petersfield, which operates on a Monday to Friday. Service 46, Winchester to North Baddersley, which operates on Monday to Friday. Service 63 to Winchester to Aylesbury, which operates on a Monday and Thursday. Service 67, Winchester to Petersfield, which operates Monday to Saturday. Service C41, New Oldsford to Basingstoke, which operates on a Wednesday and Friday. Service 95, Winchester to East Stratton and Wunston, which operates on a Monday and a Thursday.
Traffic in a flap with winged jaywalker swanning around. And there's a wonderful picture of a swan with a whole queue of traffic on North Walls waiting behind it. No, it's on Eastgate Street. A swan ventured off from the River Itchen and onto a busy city centre road. Concerned members of the public stopped to help a distressed swan wandering down the Broadway by the King Alfred statue over the bank holiday weekend. Brian Cooper from South Wanston was in the city doing some nature photography at Winnell Moors when he spotted a man trying to usher the swan away from the road. Eventually, the police came to the rescue and directed the swan to the safety of Abbey Gardens. Brian said, "I thought it was a bit odd to start off with that there was a swan wandering around in the middle of the road, but maybe something had spooked it. Cars kept stopping and beeping their horns. I wanted to help because the poor bird was stressed out and I didn't want to see it getting injured. Once in Abbey Gardens, we watched the swan for a while and the police confirmed it is safe." The keen wildlife photographer told how he spent about 20 minutes trying to guide the swan to safety with police officers and another member of the public.
Council spend on coronation. Cash-strapped local councils across Hampshire spent tens of thousands of pounds on events and decorations to mark the coronation of King Charles III. Southampton City Council spent £6,670 in what they described as a proportionate and cost-effective celebration of the historic occasion. They helped facilitate 46 street parties and arranged an externally funded giant screen at West Quay Esplanade, as well as welcoming 80 people for tea in the Mayor's Parlour. On average, nationwide, councils were planning to spend more than £13,000, with 26 shelling out more than £50,000. Winchester City Council did not reply to the Freedom of Information request or our subsequent request for information. In the rest of Hampshire, spending ranged from nothing in Gosport and Havant to nearly £37,000 in Basingstoke and Deane. Portsmouth City Council listed £10,000 in coronation spending.
College team's Golden Touch at Chelsea Flower Show. A college near Winchester has continued its Chelsea Flower Show medal-winning run with the news of another gold medal and best discovery exhibit. The accolade is Sparshot College 10th gold medal, adding to the collection of 5 silver gilt medals, 6 silver medals and 3 bronze medals, alongside 7 best in category awards. Famous faces visiting the college stand in the Grand Pavilion included Alex Jones, Ellie Harrison, Chris Bavin, Alan Titchmarsh, Adam Frost and Sir Clive Woodward. Sparshot College garden entry, Rustic Recipes Reimagined, is inspired by recipes from medieval cookery books that can all be responsibly foraged from the local countryside. The design has been created by Sparshot's multiple medal-winning team, including Chris Bird, who is celebrating his 25th Chelsea Flower Show garden design this year. Chris Bird said, "It is a fantastic result, our 10th gold medal and 7th best in category. It's an outstanding achievement for everyone involved."
Musical theatrics as students shine in sellout sensation. Pupils from a school in Winchester were deemed a sellout sensation for their production of Bugsy Malone. The Westgate School performed its adaptation of Alan Parker's gangster musical comedy for 4 nights in May, with each show being fully booked. The production had 2 separate casts, so even more budding actors could get involved, and was directed by the pupils themselves. Pupil director Alex Lockhart said, "Being in Bugsy was a truly brilliant experience. Directing the cast and acting alongside them was so fun and fulfilling. I'm so proud of each and every one of them banding together to make a really amazing show. Both cast A and B presented the show magically, and I'm so happy to have been a part of it. Through all the challenges we faced and the issues we overcame, there couldn't have been a better group of people. I will always remember this Bugsy Malone.
Cars torched in blaze drama. A car exploded whilst parked in a road in Hairstock following a suspected arson attack. Three cars were destroyed whilst the back of another vehicle melted. The blaze in Lichfield Road began at around 10:30 p.m. on Monday, May the 29th, after a diesel Dacia Sandero exploded. Firefighters from Winchester and Eastleigh were called to the incident, with the fire spreading to the nearby fence and garden of one of the army houses. A spokesperson for Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service said, "Wearing breathing apparatus sets, the firefighters extinguished the fire using two hose reels. Police were informed, as it's believed the fire was started deliberately. Crews returned to station shortly after 11:30 p.m. Jed Alexander's Ford Focus was one of the cars that had been written off by the fire. Jed said, "My son was looking out the upstairs window and he saw the flames outside. The red car was on fire, so I ran downstairs to see if I could jump in my car, but it was too late. Other neighbours started coming out to see what was happening. By the time I called 999, they said they'd already received three calls." The inside of Malcolm Welch's seven-year-old red Dacia Sandero has been completely burnt and the car is unrecognisable. Mr. Welch said, "I'm feeling all right. My car's gone. It was definitely arson. There was a spongy mattress that was obviously moved beneath my car. The fire was raging with flames around 30 feet high. We couldn't move the other cars as it was too fierce. Our door frame warmed up. That's how hot it was. Fortunately, my car is diesel. Otherwise, it would have set fire to all the other cars. There's never been much crime here. It's a nice area to live. I'd feel safe leaving my car door unlocked. We just don't get this sort of thing." And this article is accompanied by a photograph of a chap, it doesn't say who he is, standing in front of a couple of cars. We'll talk about wrecked, you wouldn't believe it. It looks like something out of a war zone.
Battle lines drawn over 6,000 home Newtown. Civic chiefs say there is no role for Mitchell Devon Newtown in meeting housing need in Hampshire. The annual meeting of the Devon Society heard that city councillors remain strongly opposed to a new town centred on Mitchell Devon Station. But the meeting also heard of growing pressure with proposed housing in the Basingstoke area to the north. Plans have been mooted for thousands of homes at Popham Airfield, only a short distance across the A303 from the proposed new town, the meeting heard. Neighbouring Basingstoke and Dean Borough Council has been considering the idea of 3,000 homes in a new garden community at the Grass Airstrip. At Mitchell Devon, the Oefling Group proposes 6,000 homes on 1,250 acres of farmland. At the meeting, attended by around 60 people on Tuesday evening, City Council Leader Martin Todd and Senior Councillor Jackie Porter rejected the idea, and also O'Flynn's stance that the new town would ease pressure on the Push area of the South East Hampshire. Push councillors are working together over issues such as development. It includes Southampton, Portsmouth, New Forest, Gosport, Eastleigh, Fareham, Havant, East Hampshire and Winchester. Councillor Todd pointed out the place to meet housing demand in South East Hampshire was in that part of the county, not at Mitchell Devon, far to north in central northern Hampshire. Devon Society Chairman Theresa Robertson said, "Villagers are not aware that the Oefling Group is not going away and that the City Council may be faced with a high court challenge, which we've had in the past with the previous developers of the Juric Group. They will claim the local plan does not meet housing need." Miss Robertson said Popham was a concern. She said, if Popham did not go ahead, we are talking of something only hundreds of yards from the new boundary of the new town. She said the Borough Council was looking at development in southwest Basingstoke between the town and Dummer, and around to the west. She said they see it as a potential growth area, although they have paused their local plan because of the confusion coming out of central government over housing allocations. Overall, it was a very good meeting, and we are pleased the councillors took time to come and answer questions for ages.
Street closure for 14 months for new GP. Part of Upper Brook Street is scheduled to be closed for more than a year while work is carried out to construct a new surgery. Hampshire County Council will shut the road in Winchester between its junction with the Friars Gate and a point approximately 35 metres north. The road will be closed from June the 5th for 14 months or until the work is completed, with the estimated end date of the work being given as August the 5th, 2024. Reasonable facilities will be provided to allow access to adjacent premises while the work is being carried out. The work will see the construction of the new St Clement's GP surgery on Upper Brook Street, on the site of the old car park on the corner of Friars Gate and Upper Brook Street. The surgery will replace the St Clement's surgery on Tanner Street. The new development will include accommodation for staff and patients, 15 consulting rooms, 3 treatment rooms, admin facilities, a larger reception and waiting rooms. Practice manager Faye Johnson said, "This is a massive step forward and is great news for both the staff and patients at St Clement's. Our current building is no longer fit for purpose, and the new development will really allow us to continue improving care for our patients and to deliver the service we want for the people in Winchester."
Turf to surf as seafood take over at pub. A pub in Hampshire, in a Hampshire market town, has announced it will be closing and refitted as a seafood brasserie. The Square Cow in Wickham confirmed in a Facebook post that it will close on June the 11th. It will be refitted and reopen as Number One The Square in partnership with Quab Park. The Vineyard recently reopened the old tea house and the old house hotel in the square. It already runs a variety of events and experiences throughout the year at its venue in Titchfield Lane. This year it plans to hold tastings, tours, cookery schools, plus more, as well as selling food boxes for people to experience fine dining at home. Posting on Facebook, Frank Dixie from the Square Cow said, "It is with sadness that I inform Wickham residents that the Square Cow will be closing its doors on Sunday, June the 11th. I won't bore you with the reasons why, but suffice to say the decision has not been taken lightly. Both Trish and I are proud of what we've achieved and are grateful to those that have supported us. But it's not all bad news. Yes, the Square Cow will close, but after a substantial refit, it will reopen as Number One The Square, which will be a top brasserie specialising in seafood. We will be in partnership with Quab Park and working very closely with its owners, Rob and Tracy Terry."
Local opposition grows to new solar farm plans. Floods of objections have been submitted for a new solar farm near Winchester. A total of 108 objections have been sent to Winchester City Council over the scheme at Pitt Down, south of Sarum Road, near Farley Mount. 68 letters of support have been submitted also. Developers Novus and Innova claimed that the solar farm would save 4,050 tonnes of carbon dioxide per year and power around 4,722 homes a year. If permitted, the solar farm would generate for 40 years. And Andrea Swain of Upper High Street has objected. She said, "Whilst recognising the need for farmers to maximise income and the need to reduce reliance on fossil fuel, this is not the location for such development. It is quality agricultural land. It is a vulnerable site between Winchester and Southampton, which requires additional protection. Even with a proposed landscape scheme, given the sloping nature of the site, planting could not alleviate the seriously detrimental impact on the rural character of the area, contrary to national and local planning guidance, which seeks to protect the landscape value of the countryside. Winchester Action on the climate crisis is encouraging its supporters to send in supporting comments to the City Council. Christine Holloway of St Swithin Street said, "We need to create as much renewable electricity in Winchester as we possibly can. We must stop producing energy by burning fossil fuel and adding to global heating. I frequently walk near here and I prefer to see solar panels than see our green countryside and wildlife killed by climate change."
6-year-old Jesse named Race for Life's top fundraiser. A 6-year-old boy was named Winchester's top fundraiser for the Race for Life. Jesse Westwood from Full Flood raised more than £1,000 for cancer research and ran his second ever Race for Life at North Walls Recreation Ground on Sunday, May the 21st. The young fundraiser got a shout-out for his efforts from the event MC in front of hundreds of fellow participants before running the 3-kilometre event with his cousin Skye Heath, 7, and auntie Jasmine Heath, 14, in memory of their grandma, Bibi, who died from cancer at 58 when Jesse was just 3. At the end of April, Jesse organised a book sale to help raise money in the local community, earning £205 towards the final total. Jesse's mum, Emma Heath, said, "Raising money for cancer research is important to us as a family. Sadly, it's something that will have impacted everyone we know in some way. I'm so proud of Jesse, Skye and Jasmine, who were nervous in the run-up to the race, but were energised on the day and are keen to run 5 kilometres next year." And there's a lovely picture of Jesse with a baseball cap and his medal on a red ribbon round his neck, looking very energetic. And he's just raised more than £1,000 for cancer research. Well done, Jesse.
Ford comes a cropper in freak collision. It's literally breaking news. A 3-point turn looks to have gone disastrously wrong on a usually quiet road in Winchester. A silver Ford crashed into a wall in College Street near Winchester College. It left the car straddling the pavement and a flower bed in the warden's garden. The force was such that the vehicle punched a hole in the wall, leaving a large number of bricks in place but likely to fall in the coming hours without emergency support. A number of bricks were left on the roof of the car. Exactly how it happens remains unclear. College Street is a cul-de-sac with through access from Wharf Hill blocked off close to the crash site near the College Porter's Lodge. The authorities are aware, as the vehicle has been fenced off with security barriers. No one is thought to have been hurt, one passerby said. College Street used to be much busier, as it was Winchester's most notorious rat run, providing an alternative route south of the city centre from Chesil Street to St Cross Road. It was closed in the early 1990s after a campaign started by the then landlord of the Wickham Arms, the late Graham Jameson, and the photograph accompanying this article, well, you wouldn't really believe, you sort of couldn't make it up. It's a photo, a picture of a wall and then stuck right through the wall, halfway through on either side, is this Ford, whatever the model is, I don't know, but it's you really couldn't make it up if you tried.
Objectors to recycle centre plan quick off the mark. For a second time, a planning application which seeks to increase HGV movements in Kingsworthy has already raised objections only one day after the public consultation started. EcoGen Recycling Limited has submitted a new application to vary these conditions after the previous one was refused at the Hampshire County Council Regulatory Committee in January. Its advice proposal is to change two conditions on its earlier planning permission at the North Winchester Farm, Stoke Charity Road. The changes aim to double HGV movements from 40 to 80 and increase the maximum annual tonnes of waste from 30,000 tonnes per year to 60,000. The County Council received the proposal on May 12 and public consultation started on May 26, with some objections already received by officials. The previous application attracted public interest and more than 200 complaints and concerns from residents and councillors. Ecogen instructed Smart Michael Associates Limited to assess the implications of increasing the amount of throughput. It pointed out that the site was granted planning permission and that the movement of HGVs along Stoke Charity Road and Loveden Lane was not raised as a significant issue at the time, since HGVs, buses and farm traffic already used the route. The company collects recyclable materials from businesses and sells them to domestic and international paper mills and recycling plants. At the recycling centre, the waste is treated to reduce its volume and help transport it to another site for reuse or recycling. Public consultation will close on June 26.
New hair salon to open in former cafe. Two Winchester hairdressers have teamed up to open their first ever business in a former cafe. The new hair salon, called ME Collective, opens in St Thomas's Street today, replacing the pink independent cafe Ashbiz, which closed just a year after opening. Founders Joe Eakin and Barry Maddox first met working at Tony and Guy in Winchester 23 years ago and made the big decision to start their own business together in February. The co-owners picked up the keys for the St Thomas's Street unit at the beginning of May and have been busy redesigning space and booking future appointments ahead of the opening. Barry, 39, said, "We wanted to feel like we weren't totally on the high street, to give a bit more of a relaxed atmosphere. Hopefully our customers have a space here that feels like their own and like a community, hence the term collective. We're already pretty booked up for June." Joe, 47, added, "The amount of light here is perfect. We fell in love with the building as soon as we saw it, but it was very pink. Having your hair done is such a personal thing, so we wanted a space where people felt comfortable. We're trying to be as sustainable and as kind to the environment as possible."
First postgraduates of new university course. Educating the educators is the ethos of a new course run for health and social care professionals by the University of Winchester. The university recently celebrated the achievements of the first cohort to complete a postgraduate, PG, course in practice education. The year-long online programme is aimed at nurses, midwives, social workers and allied health professionals who wish to become qualified practice educators who support health and social care students during work placements. All students studying nursing, physiotherapy, nutrition and dietetics, is that how you say it? Dietetic, yes.
Yes.
Social work and occupational therapy at the University of Winchester have to complete work experience and are supervised by a practice educator. Programme leader Ty Frater said, "Our PG Cert practice education students are leading the way in placement innovation and improving the quality of learning for health and social care students. We are delighted to have this opportunity to celebrate them and showcase their work."
Latest food festival is tipped to be the biggest yet. Hampshire Fair has announced that this year's festival will be the biggest yet with a whole summer of events. The 21st Hampshire Food Festival, organised by local produce promoter Hampshire Fair, will see two new events. The inaugural Winchester Food Festival will take over Winchester Cathedral's Outer Close on Sunday, July 9th, and Festival Place in Basingstoke will host Celebrate Hampshire for the weekend of July 1st. Hampshire Fair's commercial manager, Tracy Nash, said, "The Hampshire Food Festival has always been one of the most ambitious in the county, in the country, in terms of scale and reach. However, this year we have decided to make it an even bigger celebration of food and drink, running across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight throughout the summer. People love local. We have seen growing interest in provenance and an increase in staycation experiences, which means that there is a huge hunger out there for food and drink events and experiences. The festival's engaging and exciting programme is just what everyone needs. It is a must visit this summer with a great lineup of top chefs, involvement from Hampshire's busiest cafes, pubs and restaurants, and a showcase of some of the best food and drink from across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. This year, the Hampshire Food Festival is bigger than ever and packed with new events and great fun entertainment. The festival has become a well-established highlight of the summer calendar and gives everyone, locals and visitors, a delicious opportunity to discover the area's cities, countryside, market towns and villages through the region's exceptional abundance of food and drink."
Web safety for children. Winchester MP Steve Brine joined children from Murden Junior School in discussing online safety as part of a programme by Google. Mr. Brine visited the school in Chandler's Ford for a special assembly for Google's Be Internet Legends programme, which aims to support children, families and schools across the country in cyber safety. The pupils were advised on the best ways to be safe and feel more confident online, including the five pillars of the Be Internet Legends programme. Be sharp and think before you share. Be alert and check it's for real. Be secure and protect your stuff. Be kind and respect each other. Be brave and when in doubt, discuss. The assembly focused on how to think critically in online spaces to avoid scams and phishing, how to protect data and privacy, and how to communicate positively and sensitively. The Winchester and Chandler's Ford MP then spoke to the children about the importance of being safe online and the dangers of misinformation. Founder and CEO of Parent Zone, Vicky Schottbolt, said, "It's essential that children learn to think carefully and critically about what they do and see online. Parent Zone has teamed with Google to teach younger children the essential tools they need to become safe and confident online explorers, helping them to be resilient, kind and positive in this digital age. The programme, delivered in partnership with Parent Zone, has helped advise more than 5 million children across the UK."
Woman injured in latest collision at accident black spot. Another crash happened at a junction in Kingsworthy that has become notorious for accidents. At least two vehicles were involved in the incident at the Cart and Horses Junction on Monday, May the 29th afternoon, about 2:30 p.m., with two ambulances at the scene. One woman was taken to hospital. According to comments posted in Facebook group The Worthy Communities, The Worthy Community, a casualty was being treated on the ground, but the area was passable with care, with police also on site. The latest crash is one of a series of incidents to happen at the junction, with local people campaigning for better safety measures since 2014. Concerns have escalated since October after a woman died and a man was seriously injured following a collision between a Mazda and a van. The County Council has previously said that the fatality record does not warrant the installation of traffic lights or a roundabout. A police spokesman said, "We were called to reports of a road traffic collision at the junction of the B3047 and London Road in Kingsworthy. This involved two cars and one woman was taken to hospital for treatment for her injuries."
latest street bollards to help give city a splash of colour. Winchester's array of painted bollards has two new additions. Painters Jenny Muncaster and Rachel Alexander from the Colour Factory have been busy in the square transforming bollards into works of art. The Art of Bollards project was launched in 2005 to brighten up Winchester city centre. Nearly 20 years on, the painting pair behind the scheme are still keen to add a splash of colour to more street furniture across the city. There are more than 20 bollards in the square showcasing versions of famous artworks, such as those by Picasso, Mondrian, Jackson Pollock, Matisse and Leonardo da Vinci, as well as four in Parchment Street and seven in Eastgate Street. Jenny is currently painting a bollard near the William Walker to be a version of artist Julian Trevelyan piece, Absentee Pig, as requested by a long-term Winchester couple. She said, "Locals and visitors have really taken to the project, to their hearts because it's so unusual. We're taking something so mundane and making it beautiful. It brightens up the square and creates an accessible gallery of art for everyone. We're very lucky to have the support of the Winchester City Council bid and our private sponsors. We're always keen for more sponsors and to paint more bollards and other items in Winchester too." Meanwhile, Rachel is stationed at the other end of the square, repainting a bollard in the style of ceramist Clarice Cliff. The Colour Factory artist said, it's really nice and we get such a lot of positive feedback from people out and about. It's lovely to know that we are making a positive contribution to the city. People love it and the project has been so successful. Each bollard can take up to a week to complete, with the cellulose paint drying quickly in the current weather.
No jail for thug who strangled woman. A Winchester man who strangled a woman because he thought she was being unfaithful has received a suspended sentence. Liam Woods, 21, carried out a sustained assault on his now former partner at the Travel Lodge in Winchester, a court heard. The woman told of her terror, saying she thought she was going to die. In a victim impact statement, the woman, aged 17 at the time of the attack, said, "This incident has left me feeling scared for my life. In my life, I've experienced a lot of scary things. This is the worst I've suffered and has affected my mental health. I thought I was going to be killed. I don't know how I feel, as it doesn't seem real." Sentencing at Winchester Crown Court, Judge Paul Dugdale told a tearful, shaking Woods that had he been older, he would have jailed him. The court heard that Woods and his partner had come to the Travel Lodge on the High Street, taking a room and drinking a large amount of alcohol. The judge said, "You said you were jealous and thought she was cheating. It's none of your business. Other people can do what they like, have a relationship with other people, sleep with other people. It doesn't give you justification to strangle them. Other people are not property. You don't own someone because you're having sex with them. It was a nasty, violent attack. What is strange is that it's out of character for you. You don't have a record and don't strike one as violent." He jailed Woods for 9 months, but suspended it for 18 months, ordered him to do 150 hours of unpaid work with up to 30 days of rehabilitation activity. He imposed a restraining order banning Woods from seeing or contacting the woman for 10 years. The court heard they've not seen each other since.
New hub scaled back by costs. A proposal for major investment at Winchester's main hospital will go ahead if the government approves the project at the NHSEI Joint Investment Committee. A new elective hub focused on orthopaedic patients at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital is set to be built at the Burrell Wing and operate 6 days a week. The meeting, which was supposed to be held on May the 17th, was delayed, and with it the expected approval of the project. At the Health and Adult Social Care Select Committee on May the 23rd, Julie Mascarey, from Hampshire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust said, "The recommendation is for approval. No other business cases have been declined by the panel, so I'm optimistic that our proposal will be approved." For her, one of the biggest challenges the proposal will face will be finding construction material prices at a good price. She said, "The biggest risk at the moment is the inflation, construction, and potentially not getting guaranteed maximum price. Accessing extra capital within our system is challenging at the moment. My role with the construction partner is to work to get the best prices on the market. I think the guaranteed maximum prices will be slightly further from the funding approval." Originally, the Hampshire and Isle of Wight NHS leaders agreed to build a hub with 4 theatres and 44 beds to provide capacity for urology, ear, nose and throat and orthopaedics on the Royal Hampshire County Hospital site in Winchester. However, as the plans developed, the cost estimates of delivering this scheme became unaffordable with the funding available, so they decided to focus on developing capacity for orthopaedics only, since it's one of the biggest challenges for the integrated care system. The orthopaedic facility will contain 2 theatres and a 28-bed inpatient ward with associated facilities. The unit will be built within the Burrell Wing in the Royal Hampshire County Hospital. A separate entrance will be ring-fenced solely to treat elective orthopaedic patients requiring arthroplasty procedures, hip and knee replacements. It will operate 6 days a week, with inpatient facilities operating over 7 days, and accommodate weekends and extended weekdays to maximise the capacity available. The hub will deliver an additional 2,400 procedures each year. Patients will be referred by their GPs to their home trusts. People at the orthopaedic outpatient facility will receive specialist advice and support, clinical consultation, diagnosis, and treatment planning and delivery for orthopaedic patients, as well as therapy consultation, diagnosis, and treatment in conjunction with a multidisciplinary allied health team, including physiotherapy, occupational therapy, and dietitians, and also the application and removal of plaster casts. Anticipated dates for the opening are estimated as late 2024. The Chronicle contacted the Healthcare Trust to establish the cost of the scheme, but no reply has been forthcoming.
Sleepout raises £23,000. This year's Big Sleepout saw 150 people camp within the grounds of Winchester Cathedral and ditch their home comforts to support a charity's homeless services. Trinity Winchester's Big Sleepout raised more than £20,000 for the charity to help those experiencing the effects of homelessness and vulnerability. The headline sponsors for the big fundraising event were Charters, Estate Agents and RBC Bruin Dolphin, in addition to Draper Tools. Winchester a cappella, Integrate Dance, Colin Bell, Five Shades of Grey and Bushcraft Embers put on a show of entertainment while food was provided by Pie Caramba, Hursley Butcher, Barbecue and Overdraft Tacos before a night under the stars. Trinity's Chief Executive Sue McKenna said, "This is my 10th year of sleeping out at this event and it doesn't get any easier. This is not an experience of being homelessness. We cannot imagine the reality of sleeping rough as we will return to the comfort of our homes the following morning. Trinity is focused on preventing homelessness and ending the need to have to rough sleep." Miss McKenna added, "Thank you to all of the participants for joining us for the evening and for raising an incredible £23,000 towards our vital work in the community."
The latest bulletin from the Cathedral Tower. Cathedral reveals name of latest chick. After weeks of suspense and hundreds of suggestions, Winchester Cathedral has revealed the name of its resident peregrine chick. Winnie's one and only chick hatched on the 30th of April, and nearly a month later, she finally has a name. The Cathedral launched a Name a Chick competition on Friday, May the 13th. Sorry, May the 19th. A week later, on Friday, May the 26th, the Cathedral announced that the young peregrine is called Rosie.
Rosie,
As inspired by the rose window which Winnie nests beneath. Mm. Popular suggestions included Lilibet, Lizzie, or Queenie, after the late Queen Elizabeth II, Willow, or Cath, after St. Catherine's Hill, but Rosie reigned triumphant. Winnie had two chicks last year, named Elizabeth and George, who flew the nest in August. Keith Betton, chair of Hampshire Ornithological Society, inspected the chick last week and removed the other eggs that did not hatch. Mr. Betton expects Rosie to be running around the gully in about 1 week. To watch the newly named chick on the cathedral cameras, go to winchester-cathedral.org.uk/explore/peregrines. I'll repeat that. winchester-cathedral.org.uk/explore/peregrines. That concludes our extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Jane Brutter.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And very many thanks to Megan Stanley.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you are able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope.